Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who brings us together as his brothers and sisters, the children of God, dear fellow redeemed. Believe it or not, there are only three Sundays left that I have with you here until I move to Wisconsin. I knew that before I looked at the calendar this week, but it kind of just struck me finally. There's only three left. And since my father is preaching the sermon for next Sunday's service, I only have two sermons left with you before I move. And as we see that moving day get closer, we've been making lists, things that we need to take care of before that day arrives. There are some very important things that also need to be said while I'm still here. And so I figured I'd write those down as well. Part of that process will include preaching sermons. So in my last two sermons, I will be looking at some familiar and important promises and truths from God's Word. We'll call this two-part farewell sermon series, Important Things to Remember. The first is to keep meeting together. This important encouragement and reminder is found in our text from Hebrews chapter 10. We read verses 23 through 25. Let us hold on firmly to the confession of our hope without wavering, since he who promised is faithful. Let us also consider carefully how to spur on each other to love and good works. Let us not neglect meeting together, as some have the habit of doing. Rather, let us encourage each other, and all the more as you see the day approaching. These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. I want to start off by talking with you all today about an important medical condition. It's one that affects millions of people. It may affect you. Maybe it has affected you at some point in your life. It's a condition called FOMO. If you don't know what FOMO is, then the good news is you're probably too old to get FOMO. FOMO is an acronym that stands for the fear of missing out. And according to the internet, it's a term that was coined way back in 2004, if you can remember back that far. And it refers to having anxiety that an exciting or interesting event may be currently happening somewhere else. And it's often caused by posts on social media. That was the genesis of this term. And that's what caused FOMO originally. Well, then I decided I might want to look this up and see what the internet has to say about it. And I found out, to my dismay a bit, that is actually a medical condition of some sorts, that the Cleveland Clinic has written some articles saying what to do about FOMO, how it actually affects your health. And a quote from that paper says this: the fear of missing out can have a direct impact on your physical, mental, and emotional health. You might physically experience some symptoms associated with anxiety. I immediately then regretted how I started the sermon, but that doesn't sound good, does it? It's not really a joking matter for people who suffer from it. I wouldn't want that to happen to you. I don't want that kind of FOMO to happen to you when it comes to social media. But how about FOMO when it comes to worship? Do you have a fear of missing out if you don't gather with your fellow Christians for worship on Sunday morning? Or do you feel like you're really not missing out on anything if you don't go? Even if you were to read the printed sermon, even if you were to watch the worship service from the internet at home, you are in fact missing out on something if you're not here gathered for the worship service. You're missing out on the one blessing that cannot be fabricated, simulated, or imitated. That blessing is fellowship. In order to enjoy and share, that's what the word fellowship means, in order to enjoy and share in the blessing of church fellowship, you must be around fellow believers. Our text gives us several reasons to keep meeting together. And as you might notice, it doesn't say anything about who the pastor is, or even if there's a pastor at all. God's encouragement to his people is simply this: keep meeting together. The first reason he gives us this encouragement very much revolves around this blessing of fellowship. Look at verse 24 of our text. The writer of Hebrews says, "Let us also consider carefully how to spur each other on to love and good works." One of the great blessings our fellowship can bring is love and an encouragement to grow in love. One commentator wrote something that I thought was very profound about this verse of our text. He wrote this, he said, "We can believe and hope as individuals, but the practice of love always involves others. It also involves good deeds or good works. When love is present, it is exercised in good works toward others." Jesus himself tells us that our love for each other is a sign that we are truly his disciples, his followers. He said in the Gospel of John, "By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for each other." You can't show your love for each other. You can't spur each other on to love and good works without being together, meeting together. We all need that type of encouragement at times. That brings us to the second reason God so strongly encourages us to keep meeting together. Verse 25 of our text says this, "Let us not neglect meeting together as some have the habit of doing. Rather, let us encourage each other, and all the more as you see the day approaching." We like to watch nature shows at our house, and it seems like every time I walk in on my wife watching a nature show, it's always a part where some poor animal is getting attacked by some predator, about to get eaten. And if you watch those shows, what is the gazelle or the zebra or the wildebeest that's always the one the lion goes for? It's the one that's either wounded or weak or kind of straying off a little bit, right? Maybe it's the little baby that's a little bit too far from the pack. That straying one from the herd is the one that's often picked off by the lion. Well, the Bible tells us there is a lion who's roaming about looking to devour us. Not to devour us physically necessarily, but to devour our souls. The animals know this. There is safety in numbers. Do we always remember this as Christians? There is safety in numbers. There is strength in numbers. The book of Proverbs says, "As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another." God wants us to meet together partly for the reason of mutual encouragement, giving and receiving strength when tempted, urging and being urged when wavering, comforting and being comforted when sorrowing. These are all blessings we have when we keep meeting together around the Word of God. And as the writer of Hebrews reminds us, and I like to point this out about this verse every time we read it, he also reminds us we should do this all the more as you see the day, capital D, day, approaching. The day he's referring to there, of course, is Judgment Day, the last day. If the Hebrew Christians this letter was written to needed that encouragement, and this was 2,000 years ago, how much more do we need this encouragement today? We're 2,000 years closer to that capital D, day, approaching. Another interesting thing to notice about this text is you might notice that none of the reasons given for why we should keep meeting together are selfish or self-centered at all. It's almost a little strange that it's not mentioned at all about what you're going to gain from it. Since oftentimes the first thing we think of is, I will spiritually benefit from gathering with my fellow believers to hear God's word. And yet this text doesn't bring up any of those things. It emphasizes the fact that when you go to church, others are encouraged. The whole body is encouraged in general. Again, look at how our text speaks of this. It says, "Let us also consider carefully how to spur each other on to love and good works." Let us encourage each other. In other words, if you don't feel like going to church for your own benefit, or if for some reason you don't feel that you are missing out on anything by not coming to church, well then go for the sake of the other people who will be missing you when you're not there. go for the benefit of others. I can speak for myself when I say that it's an encouragement to me as a pastor and as a fellow parishioner, a fellow churchgoer, that it's always encouraging to see people in the pews. A full pew is always more encouraging than an empty pew. I and no other pastor has ever been encouraged by an empty pew. And no member has ever been encouraged by an empty pew. And finally, the third reason our text gives as to why God tells us to keep meeting together revolves around the reason we gather together in the first place. We gather here because we gather around His Word. We come here to gather as God's people to worship God and hear His Word. To worship and praise Him for all that He is, all that He's done. To learn from His Word and draw our spiritual strength and our eternal life from that Word itself. And the first verse of our text is a powerful encouragement when it says, "Let us hold firmly to the confession of our hope without wavering, since He who promised is faithful." That's not just a strong encouragement, it's a reminder of God and His promises. He is faithful. This same God who sent His Son to pay the ultimate price for our sins, the same God who saved you and has a place for you waiting in heaven, wants to meet with you around His Word. He wants to remind you of His promises every day. He wants to share those blessings that are right there that He's given to you and to others in that Word. And He also promises to bless us with His presence whenever we gather around that Word with each other. And just so we're clear for those who aren't able to gather around the Word as regularly as they'd like to, or maybe can't anymore, how many people does Jesus say need to be there for fellowship to happen and to be blessed by His presence in a special way? He says, "For where two or three are gathered together in My name, I am there in the midst of them." So yes, this fellowship can happen in your home as well. You can draw blessings from the fellowship of your fellow believers who might just be members of your family. On top of all this, let's consider also the example that Jesus set Himself. While Jesus was here on this earth, He regularly went to worship. He regularly gathered with His fellow believers to be encouraged and encourage. Think about that. If the Son of God Himself felt the need to attend worship services and gather around the Word with His fellow believers, shouldn't we? This encouragement, I believe, is an especially important one as we are facing a time of transition. Not just looking to call another pastor, but also the combining of our congregations. There are multiple challenges involved with this transition. We're calling for our next pastor today in our voters' meeting after the worship service. But the fact is, you might very well be facing some time without a full-time pastor serving your congregation. We thank God that Pastor Mark Gullerud is going to be filling in as vacancy pastor, and we thank the Lord for His willingness to serve during that time, however long it lasts. But during that time that you are without a full-time pastor, think of how much more important, not just for Mark's sake, but for all of your sakes, it will be to gather together for mutual encouragement and mutual strength. The other thing I'd like to like you to think about as I look ahead to serve a different congregation in a different location, one of the things I'm looking forward to is the opportunity for a fresh start. The opportunity to throw off some of the bad habits that I may have fallen into over the years, both personally and also in my ministry. A chance to put into practice some of the things that maybe I've always intended to do, but just haven't gotten around to. Maybe start with those when I arrive at the new congregation. Have you taken the time to think about that fact, that opportunity for you as well? During the upcoming vacancy and the future pastoral change, it might just be a time for a fresh start for you as well. So I encourage you to do some soul searching. Are there some bad habits in your life that you'd like to change? Are there some things you'd like to start doing that you've been putting off for a long time? How about your participation with this congregation and your fellow believers? How about your participation with your future pastor? Ask yourself, have I participated as much as I could? Have I attended as often as I could? And remember our encouragement from the Word of God that says, keep meeting together around that Word to encourage each other, to spur each other on to love and good works. I don't want any of you to have FOMO. Not the social media kind, and not when it comes to gathering together for worship and that priceless blessing of fellowship. God doesn't want you to miss out either. Let us hold firmly to the confession of our hope without wavering, since He who promised is faithful. Let us also consider how to spur each other on to love and good works. Let us not neglect meeting together as some have the habit of doing. Rather, let us encourage each other, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.